If this is your first time here or you're visiting, I'd just like to remind you there's a Bible on the back of the pew in front of you if you'd like to follow along for the scripture reading and then the lesson following. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. This is on page 1008 in that pew Bible. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You may be seated.
In 2005, there is a military operation called the Red Wing Operation, where it involved four Navy SEALs. Their names are Marcus Luttrell, Michael Murphy, Danny Dietz, and Matthew Axelson. Now, this operation that took place in Afghanistan on a mountainside of Afghanistan did not go as planned. These four men found themselves completely surrounded by the enemy, and they started taking fire on a side of a mountain. And they put up a good fight, but sadly, one of them, one by one, each were killed, leaving only one survivor, Marcus Luttrell, which then he later went to write a book called Lone Survivor. And I want to talk about what Marcus endured on this mission. Not only did he lose his brothers, he was shot multiple times, he cracked three vertebrae, broke his back, and fell down a mountainside. And he was still all alone. He could not walk, let alone run. All he could do was crawl. So that's what he did. He didn't crawl 1 mile, he didn't crawl 2 miles, he crawled 7 miles just to get water. And then he was rescued, but not by the U.S. military. He was rescued by a small Afghan village. The U.S. military didn't find him until 3 days later. For those 3 days, he was in a small village with not any real medical attention, bleeding, saddened, alone, knowing the fact that his brothers are dead on that mountain, three cracked vertebrae, all by himself. And then he was finally rescued. Can you imagine going through all of that? All of that, especially for 3 days on your own? And then later in his book, he wrote this. No matter how much it hurts, how dark it gets, or how hard you fall, you are never out of the fight. The year's coming to an end. 2025 is about to end. Next time we're here on Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, it'll be 2026. And the year may be ending, but your spiritual race is not over yet. You see, throughout the year, you may look back and see all the highs and lows of life. We had some people who were recently married, and some people who lost their spouse. We have a newborn child here, and some funerals we held here as well. Some people got job promotions. Some people lost their jobs. There's going to be highs and lows of life. And the question is not, will things change? Because it will. That's not really the question. The question is, will you keep running the race when it gets hard? Or will you quit? See, in the Bible, going to a biblical person, Paul, he ran a race, a hard race, and he kept running the race. Because for us, like Paul, he understood his race wasn't over yet. Our race isn't over yet. So what I want to talk about, I want to go through three different books of the Bible, going through Paul's race and his journey and what he was feeling, and kind of see how he ran his race. So if you'd like to turn with me to Acts chapter 20, I'm actually going to read 17 through 25. It starts off saying, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to him. And when they came to him, he said to them," now a little background, Paul's on a mission. He needs to get to Jerusalem, and he doesn't have time to stop and chat, but he wants to talk to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He's close to them. They took care of him. He took care of them. They're friends. He wants to speak to them one last time. So he doesn't have time to stop there, so rather stopping there, he tells them to come to him. And the elders come to him, and then he says these words to them. "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, what happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." Here in Paul's race, we see him talking to the elders of the church of Ephesus. And he starts by telling them, "You know me. I know you. The moment I set foot in Asia, I have served the Lord with all humility. I did not shrink back from preaching his words. I told the story of Jesus. I preached repentance to the Jews and the Gentiles. I did not shrink back." But now he tells them, "I'm about to go to Jerusalem, and I don't know what's going to happen there other than the fact that I will face affliction and imprisonment." Now you see, for most people, if they know where they're about to go, if they're about to face afflictions, they won't go there. But Paul still keeps running. He goes there because then he says he understands that his life is of little value compared to the gospel. He knows his race isn't over yet. He knows the true purpose of what he's serving here. So even though he knows he's about to face afflictions, he keeps running the race. And then we jump to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul then says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am to live in the flesh. That means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. For your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Here we have Paul saying he wants to go home. He's ready to die. I'm ready to go. He desires to go. But he understands that his race isn't over yet. He understands that God needs him here still to preach the word, to encourage others' faith. So even though he wants to go home, even though he's desiring to go home, he keeps running the race because he knows he needs to stay here to continue helping serve God. And then finally, at the conclusion of Paul's race, we get to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." He finally completed his race. He tells Timothy, "My time has come. I'm about to go home." And he tells Timothy that he has put up a good fight, that he fought well. And because he fought well, he will now be rewarded with a crown of righteousness. Through all the affliction, through all the imprisonment, Paul kept running the race until his race was finished and he was rewarded. We see earlier, we talked about the soldier Marcus, who kept pushing, who kept going through all the pain and suffering, and he quotes saying, "You are never out of the fight." And we have Paul encouraging the other Christians, "I want to go home. I'm about to face imprisonment and affliction. But I'm going to keep running this race for God." And Marcus was rewarded by being saved and having a life, and Paul was rewarded by having eternal life because he kept running the race. The year may be ending, but your race isn't over yet. So will you keep running or will you quit through all the highs and lows? So now what I want to do, I want to go back to Acts 20 because I believe we have to ask the question now, okay, Paul ran his race well, he completed his race, but how did he complete his race? What can we learn from Paul that we need to do to keep running this race? Well, the first thing we see is that Paul ran the race with humility. Back in Acts chapter 20, we see Paul says to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility." Paul understood that to serve God is not about you. You're not serving yourself. You're serving him. He's doing it while being humble. Because the opposite of humility is pride. And pride is very dangerous. Paul didn't have pride, he had humility. And he kept running the race with humility, with the idea that he's not doing this for himself, but for God, for the other people. In the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes, "Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind." Pride, in other words, is you saying, "I know more than God. I know what's better for me more than God." That's a complete anti-God state of mind. And Paul didn't have that state of mind. He ran the race with humility. We read in 1 Timothy 3, it says, talking about the elders, electing new elders, he says, "He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil." The devil is a prideful person. He's prideful. And being prideful is becoming like him. James 4, 6, "But he gives more grace, therefore," it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." He gives grace to the humble, not the proud, but to the humble. Jesus was humble himself. We read in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And it says in verse 3, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God." I like how this starts off. Jesus knows who he is. He knows everything in his hand was given by God and that he's going back to God, is setting up the stage of he knows how important he is. And then verse 4, Jesus rose up from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began washing the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Even though he knows who he is, he knows he's the Son of God, he knows how powerful he is, he gets down on his knees and washes the disciples' feet. Jesus was humble. Jesus ran the race with humility. So seek humility because God knows more than you. In Acts 20, Paul says he doesn't know what is ahead of him, but he knows he's going to face affliction. But I like the key word there. He doesn't know what's ahead of him. He's not claiming, I know exactly what's going to happen. No. He understands he does not know more than what God knows. God knows what's ahead of him, but Paul doesn't. We read in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Here in Isaiah, God is saying, my thoughts, my ways, they're greater than any one of you. And you do not know my thoughts, and you do not know my ways. Humble yourself, because his way is higher. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Forget everything you know. Do not lean on your own understanding. Lean on God. He will guide you. Do not look at your own wisdom, but look at his wisdom. Fear the Lord. Look at this. Not the world. Not yourself. Be humble. In Matthew 23, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Paul approached this race with humility. As it says in Acts 20, serving the Lord with all humility. Paul continued running this race with humility. So what do we learn? We learn that we need to run our race with humility. Being humble, lowering yourself. The second thing we see is that Paul runs a race with endurance. We see in verse 19, after he talks about running the race with humility, he then says, and with tears, with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. With tears and trials. See, Paul suffered. And we are going to suffer running this race. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to look at those in the past. As Hebrews says, Hebrews tells us to look at those before us. Look how they ran the race. We see it says in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at Jesus, who ran that race, who was murdered wrongfully. Look at him. Look what he went through. Have endurance in this race. We see other Christians. Stephen was stoned, as it says in Acts. John the Baptist was beheaded. James was beheaded. And Jesus was crucified. And they never stopped running the race. You know, I look at myself and I think about how pathetic I can be. how pathetic I think all of us can be. We complain. I think it's natural, especially for us as Americans with everything we have. It's easy to look at what we have and then complain what we don't have. And then I look at the Bible and I look at myself and I look at how those Christians kept preaching the word. Those Christians kept spreading the gospel, and look what was happening to them. Being stoned, being beheaded. If you know much about Roman history, you know they were on stakes, lit up as torches, the Christians, thrown into the Colosseum with the lions. And what about us? What real persecution are we facing? If they can run with endurance, why can't we? They went through a whole lot more than we did. We can run with endurance like they did. And we can't be surprised of this either. In John 15, there's no reason to be surprised of dealing with persecution. Because in John chapter 15, verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." This is Jesus speaking. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. If they persecuted Jesus, they'll also persecute us. So why are we surprised when we face struggles, when we face affliction? Don't be surprised of it. We knew this would happen. It does not come as a shock. So run the race like endurance, like Stephen, like John, like James, and like Jesus. And throughout all this, throughout all these afflictions, all the highs and lows we may face, we have support through it all. We are not alone in this race. As it says in Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're not alone in this fight. God strengthened us. So have that endurance like they did, because God is with you. God is strengthening us. Don't quit. Don't fall short. Keep running that race, because your race isn't over yet. The third thing we see in Paul is that Paul ran the race with abandon. We see in Acts 20, Paul talking about what he's about to face and why he's going to continue running this race. He says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." See the key words there Paul uses? I do not account my life of any value. The only value is Christ. My life, my dreams, my goals, they have no value. The only value I have in life is running this race for Christ, for God. So will you be held back by earthly means? That's what makes a lot of people fall short of the race. Things come up, earthly things. They find opportunity, earthly opportunities, and they stop running that race. We see that with the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "What can I do to inherit the kingdom?" And Jesus tells them, "Well, you know, you're rich. Sell all your possessions. Get rid of all your earthly possessions. Give it to the poor." And in verse 22, it says, Jesus says to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he, the rich young ruler, heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Money stopped him short. Things of this earth stopped him short. Is there anything here that's holding you back from running this race? Or Demas, as we see in 2 Timothy, Paul says, "For Demas, in love with this present world, hath deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Demas, in love with this world, left me. And we even have Judas, who sold Jesus. It says in Mark 14, "Then Judas the Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him." Here you have Judas going to betray the Son of God for what? For money. Demas loves the world. The rich young ruler loves his money. And Judas is selling Christ for money. They fell short on their race because they were held back by earthly means. What's holding you back? What's stopping you? As Paul says in Galatians 5, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" You've been doing so well. You've been running this race. What's stopping you? What's hindering you? And then we get to the final thing. What is this race we even are running? You know, people run 5Ks and they run it to, you know, for exercise, also to test their endurance, but also they're doing it usually for a cause. Well, what is this race we are running? What is the cause of this race? Why are we running this race? We're running it to have Christ-like character. As it says in Micah 6:8, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Have that Christ-like spirit. Have that Christ-like character. Run your race, run your life with justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly. What is this race we are running? Christ-like character. We are also running a Christ-centered love. Loving others like Christ did. As it says in Matthew 22, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love like Christ. Have your life be centered around Christ's love. Run this race because you're running a race of Christ-centered love. And thirdly, we run this race for a Christ-centered mission. As it says in Matthew 28, Jesus' last commandment to us, he says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Our mission is to preach the word to all nations. Christianity is not an American religion, it's a world religion. To all nations. It's not just a Jewish religion, it's a Gentile religion. To everybody. We are running this race to have Christ-like character. We are running this race to have Christ-centered love. And we are running this race to have a Christ-centered mission. That we are commanded to go and make disciples of all nations. Your race isn't over yet. I find it fun and interesting that every time there's a new year, we make these lists. And a lot, like they tend to go, quote, "New year, new me." Well, it could be a new year. You can pick up the race and start running again. But if you're already running the race, it's not a new you, because the race isn't over. You continue running that race, because the year may be ending, but your race isn't over. If you want to close your notes, we need to run this race with abandon, leaving behind our earthly desires. We need to run this way with humility, knowing that God is greater, that our reward is greater. And we need to run this race with endurance, looking at those before us who ran this race, all the suffering they endured, we can do the same. And as Paul says, he ran his race and he received the crown of righteousness. We run this race through all the pain, through all the suffering. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not going to be easy, because this world is not our home. Heaven is. And to get there, you need to keep running the race. And when you keep running that race, you'll hear God say to you, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Do you want to hear those words? Then don't fall short. Don't quit. Keep running the race, because your race isn't over yet. So if you want to keep running this race, if you want help running this race, we invite you to come up as we stand and sing.